We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app.
Just a day, this one day I won't give away. With a smile, I'm halfway there. Say what they say, but I don't care. Can't get caught up in despair. All I need is just a prayer.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we will be featuring an interview with the Consul General's office from Chicago and Israel. Moran Birman, who is official spokesman, will be talking about Israel's nation state law. This is something which I reported on a couple of weeks ago when they passed it, declaring basically Israel to be the Jewish state. And now it's getting all kinds of like backlash. And people have been asking me to defend the Israel as for what its actions, and I'd rather have them do it themselves. That's what we'll be doing this half hour of the show. In the rest of the show, well, we've got lots of Jewish music for you, various different sites and centers. It's all brand new. Everything's brand spanking new. What does it mean, spanking? Oh, it's like a little baby probably you spank it when it comes out. That kind of brand new. The portion of the week is the portion of Re'eh, can be found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12 and further. We're also coming up this week. It's actually next Saturday is the first day of the month of Elul. So we'll be talking a little bit about the king in the field. We have, this is classic Rebbe stories coming up at the end. Stay all the way till 11:58. Yes, indeedy. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. The Israeli Defense Force identified seven terrorists trying to sneak into Israel from Syria. An Israeli drone was dispatched and killed all seven. The seven were identified as members of ISIS from Syria. Bombs and automatic weapons were discovered with the remains. Israel stopped sending fuel and gas to Gaza until further notice. The decision was made in light of the continued launching of Molotov cocktails from Gaza via balloon and kite. One such balloon reached Beersheva, which that's pretty far. That's like a good distance for a balloon to travel. Food and medicine is still being shipped into Gaza. Volunteer fighter fires from the United States are in Israel to help battle the blazes sweeping across southern Israel caused by those arson kites and balloons. They are working in Sderot, Ashdod, Ashkelon, and Netivot. The U.S. Senate passed the U.S.-Israel Security Assistance Authorization Act of 2018, which would make it a law that the $38 billion in defense and aid to Israel for the next 10 years cannot be canceled by any president. The deal was negotiated in the final days of the Obama administration, and it now goes over to the House, where it is expected to pass overwhelmingly. A California federal appeals court ruled that Norton Simon Museum can keep two paintings looted by the Nazis from a Jewish-owned gallery in the Netherlands. Adam and Eve, those are two paintings, which were painted around 1530 by Lucas Cranach the Elder, was appraised at $24 million. And finally, got a hankering for a kosher cheeseburger? Well, now that's possible. It's called the Impossible Burger. It's a vegetarian patty that claims to taste and look like beef. It even bleeds just like a juicy burger, thanks to heme, a protein that puts the heme in hemoglobin. Impossible Burger is now under the supervision of the UOU. It is made from genetically modified roots of soy plants and is available on the East Coast. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Giro Shower. We have from the Consul General's office in Chicago for the State of Israel, Mr. Meron Bierman, a guest who's been on before, and we hope to have him on several more times. How are you today, Meron?
Good. How are you, Herschel?
Good, thank God. We are talking about Israel's nation-state law. I talked about this in my news a couple of weeks ago, the day or so after it passed, and didn't think anything of it until people who I associate with started asking me to defend Israel because of this action that they did in passing the nation-state law. So before anything else, could you describe in some a little bit of detail, Meron, what is Israel's nation-state law?
Sure. So first of all, for the listener who don't know, so Israel does not have a constitution or a written constitution like the U.S., and like other countries, we do have laws that are in higher status of the regular laws, and we call them basic laws.
Okay, let me interrupt you. Was it purposely done that way? Did the founding fathers back in Ben-Gurion's time said, you know, it's just a lot of paper. We're not going to do a constitution, but we're going to have like a basic bill of rights, and then we'll build on that?
Yeah, so they actually, the idea was, and it might be still is, to eventually get to the point where we take all these basic laws and make them constitutions. So we just, instead of writing the whole constitution, we were just writing one basic law at a time. So they have higher status, but they are not, it's not a full constitution, it's not a complete constitution.
Okay, let me ask you.
So you can say it's still in a process.
What does it mean, higher status? A law is a law. If there's a law, for example, that you can't litter in the streets of Tel Aviv, how is that less of a law than one of these higher standard laws?
So you can think about it more as like a constitution. So a constitutional law or a basic law is higher than the regular law. So let's take, for example, the law that in Israel you have a basic law that speaks about the freedom of occupation, meaning of what you not, I'm not speaking about occupation in the way that some people criticize Israel for that. I'm speaking about what you do to work, where you work or what you do to work. So we have this law. And when we have a case getting to the court with the regular law and the basic law, and we have a conflict, so the basic law wins over the regular law. So it has a higher status. Usually, if you want to, that's the Israeli legal system, when you want to sue or when you want to file a petition against a regular law based on a basic law, you have to go to the Supreme Court in Israel. That's different than the U.S., but the Supreme Court handles it. So the freedom of occupation and the basic law that speaks about the dignity of each person and the liberty of each person, those are the two basic laws that are very common for the Supreme Court to speak about them, because we use them as semi-constitutions for concepts, for ideas like liberty, like equal rights, and some other ideas that in the U.S. will be coming from the Constitution. Constitution.
Okay, so does a is there a basic law that describes how to go about instituting a basic law?
So that's a very good idea, and I can tell you, so by the way, I was a lawyer back in Israel before I became a diplomat. So I can tell you, you will be a very good law student. That's actually the first question the professor asked on the constitutional law class, because the answer is no. The answer is no, and the answer is that it's not very clear exactly how you do it. The answer is it was never, there was never an attempt to do it in Israel. And each basic law in the law itself decides how you can change it. So some of them, you can change it in a special majority in the Knesset. So for example, if the Knesset has 120 seats, so some of the basic law says you can only change this law with 80 seats, with a vote of minimum 80 Knesset members.
Yeah, a supermajority.
Some basic laws that does not say, so you can change them in just any majority. Mm-hmm. So it's a little confusing.
Okay, so does a super law, basic law, have to be approved by a supermajority in Knesset, or just 6159 is also good?
So again, the answer is no. And any majority can write a basic law, mm-hmm. can approve a basic law.
And so when this is really fascinating, I've never gotten into the constitutionality of Israeli law. So how then is it decided? Well, which, you know, people just say, you know, this one, I think we're going to make this one a basic law as opposed to something else that's not a basic law. Like littering in Tel Aviv is not a basic law because somebody decided it doesn't need to be a basic law.
So, of course, we only do it with things that are very important to us, like the Constitution. And I'll give some other examples. There's a basic law that speaks about the prime minister in Israel. There's a basic law that speaks about the president. There's a basic law that speaks about the army. There's a basic law that speaks about Jerusalem. So it's only things that are, you know, the core values of Israel. And the Jewish state is one of them. And this is why the decision wants to make that law a basic law.
Okay, so now let's get to matters of hand. If you could tell us, what is this now, this basic law, which is, you're saying, semi-constitutional, which is sort of like concretizing Israel's nation state law?
So this basic law cements the idea that Israel is a Jewish state, that Israel is the home of the Jewish people, and this will be the case in the future as well. This is not a new idea. Of course, Israel was founded on these principles as a Jewish state. So it's not new, but again, we felt like we have to cement it as a basic law, in order to make sure that this will be the case in the future, and this will be, you know, known and understood by everyone.
Okay, let me see how I'm going to give you an analogy. There is an argument among codifiers as to the commandment, the mitzvah, of believing in God. Many codifiers say that the first mitzvah is to believe in God. But then there are other codifiers that say there is no mitzvah to believe in God, because how could you command somebody to believe in God and then do the commandments? In order to have a commandment, you have to first believe in God. It's like a precursor to the commandments. So up till now, it's like given. Israel is the Jewish state. Everybody knows. If you're going to ask, well, what's Israel? Everybody's going to say, throughout the entire globe, they're going to say, well, Israel's the Jewish state. What did putting it down on paper have, what does that accomplish? And the second part of that question is, why did it take 70 years? What was it that Ben-Gurion was thinking, we don't need to put this on paper, whereas Prime Minister Netanyahu did? That's a two-part question.
Thank you for the question. I think it's a very good analogy. Israel is a Jewish state. Nobody denies it. Actually, this is the main reason why we have all the, you know, challenges that we have, because some people don't like the fact that we are a Jewish state. But this is, again, the core value. This is why we were founded. The reason why we had to do it is, again, you know, some people may question it. Some people may deny it. Some of our neighbors may deny it. Some other countries may deny it. And by the way, it took 70 years. That's correct. But Ben-Gurion did write the Israeli Declaration of Independence, which says, you know, this is the fifth of the sixth word in the first paragraph, in the first line, is the Jewish people. In the land of Israel, the Jewish people came to be, in my translation. So he did write it on paper, and not as a law, not as a basic law. But we did feel that if we are now writing our basic law, if we are now starting to think of our core values, we have to write it on a paper and make it a basic law. And I think that it did take 70 years, but in those 70 years, this was the case. We acted like it. We felt now is the time to just write it and make sure everybody knows it. And to make sure to send a message that this is very important to us, this is our core value, and this will be like that in the future.
Okay. If you're just joining us, our guest today is a representative from the Council General's office from the state of Israel in Chicago, Moran Bierman. We're talking about Israel's nation state law. Okay. So the law, the provisions are the way I stated. It states that Israel is a Jewish state. The flag is defined as a blue bar on the top, a blue bar on the bottom, and a Star of David in the middle on a field of white. Hatikvah is the national anthem. Hebrew is the national language. And does it say anything? Maybe Judaism is the national religion of the state. I didn't remember seeing such a thing. And but it doesn't declare, say, like the national bird of Israel or the national, you know, Michigan has a state soil. It's Kalkaska clay. And, you know, or the state tree or anything like that. So what those were true for the last 70 years. What changed by this declaration, finally, of the Israel nation state law?
So those are true and those are true. But sometimes, you know, words have power, you know, words matter. So we didn't change a lot in the principles, in the values, in the spirit of Israel. But it was important for us to state, of course, nobody denied it, that the Star of David, the blue and white Star of David, is a flag. But we have to make sure it's written. We have to make sure in the future that I don't think next year anybody would like to change it, but we don't know. You know, the Middle East things might be surprising. So we want to make sure this will be the case in the future. All these ideas of the language, the flag, you know, this was the case, but we wanted to cement it and to show us and the people of Israel and our neighbors in the world that this is our core values and this will be the case in the future. And by the way, we also have a national bird, Israel. There was a few years back, there was a poll asking what should be the national bird of Israel. And the bird that was selected is a beautiful bird that's in Israel. I don't know how to say it in English, but it's a nice golden bird with a small crown on its head.
It's one of my favorite words in Hebrew, actually.
Yeah, maybe you know how to say it in English if there's a word. But yeah, we're not. I know that every state has its national bird, national flower, and national, you know, everything. So you know, but maybe that's also something we have to mention, that Israel is 70 years old and the U.S. is 242. So you know, we're still in the process of, you know, creating our national symbols and putting them on writing and putting them as a law and as a basic law. This is also something we have to remember because people, you know, the Jewish people have been here for or existed for a lot more than 70 years, but the state of Israel is only 70 years old. So this is part of the process. And this is why for people in the U.S., they might ask questions, why did you do it now, or why didn't you do it before, or why is it so important? We're a young country, and we're still in the process of, you know, creating our own, or not creating, but cementing our own core values.
Uh-huh. The national bird of Israel is the Duchifas, which in English is called, is called a Hopo.
Yep.
The Hopo, H-O-P-O-E, Hopo.
Yep.
I don't know if it exists in America, but it's understood that that's what it is. And I just like saying Duchifas. Anyway, So now, so you have, Israel has now this basic law, the nation state of law. It declares Israel as being a Jewish state. Is there concern that the minorities of that fill up the non-Jewish population, the Arab, the Druze, the Circassians, the Christians, whoever else happens to be living there, is going to sometime in the near future become a majority, and therefore we need to have such a law, but then such a law declares that the minority is the ruling factor, and that's, we call that in English apartheid.
Yeah, of course, there is no, the idea was not to deny any rights, and I have to say that, you know, we got many comments and questions and complaints and criticism after that law passed. Some of them try to declare that we are denying rights from our citizens, the Muslim, the Druze, Christians, and others, which is definitely not the case. The fact that the law says that Israel is a Jewish state does not deny any rights, and we are also a democratic state, and we will continue to be a democratic state with equal rights for all of our citizens, no matter the religion, the race, their gender, you know, their origin, or anything like that. So I have to declare and I have to emphasize that this is not the case. We are not denying rights from anybody, not now, not in the future. Israel, we are a Jewish state, but we are also a democratic state. And the value of equality is also written in the Israeli Declaration of Independence. At that time, 1948, it was not so common in every country to declare about the equality between all people, all religions, all genders. But we did it in 1948, and we are still committed to it. So all of our citizens, we see them as equal citizens. You can see Arab and Druze and Christian judges and Knesset members and ministers and doctors and lawyers and professors and CEOs and everything else in Israel. It's certainly not a state with you mentioned apartheid, which is a word I don't even like to use. I think that that this is a very a mean way to criticize Israel. Of course, like any other country, we might have challenges. We might have minorities which need some help, which have some challenges, like I think any other countries. But definitely, we don't deny any rights.
Okay,
not in this law, and not in the values of Israel.
Okay, I understand this. But when the law was passed, the head of one of the Arab parties resigned. There's a brigadier general from the IDF forces who got all upset, and I think maybe he resigned. He's calling on the Druze to withdraw their support from the participation in the Israeli army. What are they upset about? What's upsetting them about Israel's nation state law?
So that's true. There were some Druze, especially Druze leaders, mentioned that they are upset about that. By the way, there will be a demonstration tomorrow in Tel Aviv, a Druze community demonstration against the law. Again, it shows that Israel is a democratic country, and you know, people can be upset that they can demonstrate if they object the law. They were upset about the fact that that Israel did not mention the Druze or the non-Jewish or the Arab or the Muslim citizens of Israel in that law. But again, the fact that we did not do it does not mean they don't have equal rights and they are not equal citizens like me and like any other Jewish citizen of Israel. They still get the same rights regarding the Arab language, which is still, it's not considered to be an official language of the state of Israel. But again, we will not change it. For those of you who visited, the listeners who visited Israel, you can see that all the street signs and the road signs and all the official documents and everything else has Hebrew and Arabic, and this will not change. So they are upset about the fact that the law does not mention the Arab language or the Muslim or the Jewish community. But I can say here that the fact that it's not in the law does not mean we will change how we treat them. And this is, again, they're equal citizens like any other Israeli citizen.
Okay, so Prime Minister met with the Druze on Thursday, and they worked out something which was called a compromise. That the word compromise indicates that there was something that needed fixing or tweaking in Israel's nation state law to appease the Druze. What was that all about, Maran?
So the Druze community, I'll just say that Druze community are a very interesting community. They are spread in some countries, especially in the Middle East. They speak Arabic, but they are not Muslim. Druze is a different religion with different principles. They don't have their own country. They believe that they should be loyal to any country in which they live in. So the Druze community in Israel served in the army like any Israelis. They live in their own towns and villages. Usually they worship in their own way, but they do serve in the IDF with Israeli citizens. And they felt like they the law, since they are serving in the army, since they are citizens, the law does not mention them. As you mentioned before, and the idea is, because this is a very important community, we have to find the way to try to maybe compromise, meaning maybe think about a law that will speak directly, specifically about the Jewish community and their, you know, their friendship and their loyalty to the Jewish community. And again, they are our brothers and sisters. And we listen to them when they say they are upset about this law. I don't think, and Prime Minister Netanyahu declared that he will not change the basic law, but he might add a new law or find a different way to try to get them to understand that we are not taking anything from them, but we also don't want to change this basic law since it's very important to us.
Would that new law be a regular law? Or would that have the status of a basic law as well?
So again, so I can guess it will be a regular law, because to create a basic law, it's a longer and harder process. And Prime Minister Netanyahu declared he will not change this basic law. So I can guess this will be a regular law, but they are still in a dialogue, the Druze community and the government, they are still trying to find the best way to make the Druze community understand that we treat them like our brothers and sisters.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a speculative question, and I don't like speculative questions, because speculative questions always start out with what if. And my grandmother would say, if you'd ask my grandmother, my bubby, what if, she would say, what if your grandmother had wheels? Would she be a bus?
Yeah.
You know, so, but let's say we have this law which guarantees the identity of Israel as a Jewish state. And over the years, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, the Jews find themselves, because of the democracy, find themselves in a minority. What now will happen with Israel's national state law?
So again, this is not what the law was created, but this is something this law will at that point, you know, what is, but if that will happen, we want to make sure that Israel is a Jewish state. Again, it will be like that in the future, even if we will be a minority, which I don't think that will happen. But if that will happen, the law will decide and will cement the fact that Israel is a Jewish state. You know, the fact that it's a Jewish state does not mean Jews will have more rights than others if we are a majority and if we are a minority. But it will continue to be a Jewish state, and this is what's important to us.
Okay, so I mean, you touched on the whole thing. You're not going to have more rights, but it'll be more Jewish. So it sounds like the end of Animal Farm, where everybody's equal, but some people are more equal than others.
No, I don't think this is the case. I don't think it's the end of Animal Farm. Everybody has the same rights, and nobody has more rights. Not any Jewish or other groups, majorities, minorities, have more rights in Israel as Israeli citizens. But we are a Jewish country, and one example with Jewish state, one example is our flag. Our flag is the Star of David, which is a Jewish symbol. That does not mean a Muslim or Christian or Druze citizen of Israel has less rights. He can't walk anywhere he wants. He can't do anything he wants. He can't get married the way he wants. He can't speak his or her language. It does not change anything. But the symbol, like the flag and the national anthem, will stay Jewish. Will continue to be the state of the Jewish people, meaning Jewish communities and Jews can come to Israel and get citizenship. But once they are in Israel, we all have the same rights, no matter your religion, your race, your gender, or anything else. So nobody has more rights than others. Everybody is equal.
Okay, so in your...
And by the way, this is not different than other countries, which are nation states, you know, which have this principle, but they all have equal rights. So Israel is the nation state of the Jewish people.
Okay, so in your opinion, Moran Bierman, those people who are protesting and are all up and bothered about it and are coming up and saying this is a terrible thing really are wasting their time, because it's not.
So I don't want to say that they're wasting their time. You know, I think it's important to have the freedom of expression. It's important for people in a democratic country to be able to criticize and to demonstrate and to protest. I do think that we have to listen to them. I do think that if, you know, the Prime Minister decided to create a committee that will listen to them, talk to them, engage in a dialogue, and find a solution. We might find a solution. There might be something that during the process we didn't have in mind, and we can find a solution for that. So I don't want to say they're wasting their time. I do want to say that we are listening to them. I don't think that this basic law will be changed, but I do think we will listen to them and we will try to find the right solution together.
Solution implying problem, but we're going to let it go at that. Okay, our guest today has been a representative from the State of Israel Council of Israel in serving the Midwest in Chicago, Moran Bierman, official spokesman. We've been talking about Israel's nation state law, and thank you so much for taking of your time, and we wish you continued success, Moran.
Thank you very much, Hersh. Good talking to you.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Herschel Finman here. Let's listen to a little music. This is, as I said at the onset, brand new. The group is called Nachas. It's a new group. This is their first song, and it's called Life is a Gift. כל יום שאני חי זה חסד עד בלי די וגם מיום קשה ממש לא משנה כל יום ברכה רק צריך את המחשבה השם לי נותן רק טובה כל יום שאני חי זה חסד עד בלי די וגם מיום קשה ממש לא משנה אני מודה לך כי נאה בך לך Shabbat
בבוקר אני קם, מסתכל על העולם, מודה לי כל חי וקיים. כל יום שאני חזה זה חסד השליטה, וגם מיום קשה ממש לא משנה. אני מודה לך, כי נועל לך, לך טוב לך אותו, שבכל
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, this is brand new, Shlomi Gertner. The song is called "This Is the Time."
Put your hands in the air, Put your hands in the air. Put your hands in the air. Put your hands in the air.
לחוצים, בני אדם כולם רצים, לא להתייאש אחי, כי יש לנו אב. הוא שליט, הוא בורא, הוא מחליט מה שקורה, ואנחנו רק בידיו. הוא המחיה, הקצב משתמנה, אין שום דאגה, תרגע. איזה הזמן לקום ולשיר, איזה הזמן לקפץ באוויר, לנשימה, שום דבר אינו בוער, so easy חבר. אמונה, ביטחון, לחץ נעלם פתאום, כן אתה יכול לשחרר. הוא המחיה, הקצב משתנה, אין שום דאגה, תרגע. איזה הזמן לקום ולשיר, איזה הזמן לקפץ באוויר, put your hands in the air, put your hands in the air. Hey, that smile I couldn't be ashamed. Hey, that smile if I felt far away. Put your hands in the air. Put your hands in the air. Tell me we are dying. I call me.
באוויר, yeah. Put your hands in the air, yeah. Put your hands in the air.
And that was Shlemi Gertner. This is The Time. Next, this is Bezalel Levin, and it's called The Song for Morocco.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Fidman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Re'eh, and it always comes at the beginning of the month of Elul. Sometimes it's the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, as it is, it's read the day of Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh Elul is 2 days, which is the 30th of the month of Av and the first day of the month of Elul. That's the way it's celebrated, as 2 days. So this Shabbos is the first day of the new month, and thus by inaugurating this year's Elul. Elul has no holidays in it. It is a month for stock taking and looking over the last year. How did we do with all of the holidays from the previous year? We don't have any holidays now because we've got to think, did we do the best we could on whatever holidays we served during the past year, starting with last year, Rosh Hashanah, and I suppose going all the way up to, I guess, Tu B'Av or Rosh Chodesh Elul, as the case may be, and actually the last day of the month of Elul, which is the day before Rosh Hashanah, is a stock taking for the month of Elul. And how did I do in my stock taking? And I'm taking stock of my stock taking. Because more than anything, the Almighty wants this relationship with us. And what is preventing this relationship of the having that the Jews have with the Almighty are the Jewish people themselves. And Elul is deemed very appropriate because, listen, it's the month of August. What do people do for the most part during the month of August, at least in the Northern Hemisphere? They go on vacation. So to speak, the Almighty is also on vacation. He's got on the blue jeans. He's got on his Birkenstocks. He's kicking it back with a double green smoothie, you know, sitting there taking it all in. And he's in a good mood. And you come up to him and you say, hey, God, it's been a really good year as far as this and this goes, and I'm really sorry about this and this that happened. I could have done better, but I really wouldn't mind if I had a really good year next year. And the Almighty says, sure, no problem. That's what happens. That's what happens. It's happening during this month. Because what happens, like Rosh Hashanah, it's like the big day of judgment, you know, New Year's, you know, and everybody runs to shul and we're hearing the shofar and all that stuff. The Almighty's got the robes on, by way of an example. It's like you have to go through all of the different clearances to get to see the Almighty. And then it's like, listen, the day of Rosh Hashanah, is the Almighty is judging the entire creation. Every single subatomic particle is judged. What's going to happen this year to it? So at that point, the Almighty says, I see your request. Just do me a favor. Put it on the pile. I hope to get to it before the end of Sukkot. Okay, and then it's like, oh, it's like committees. It's like, so this is the month. Now, you don't have to wait till Sunday to start doing this, the first day of Rosh Chodesh. You can start it now because, as I was told, the month that we're in now, Av, is an abbreviation for Elul Bo. Elul is coming. And indeed, I was just recently saw something very cute. The Lubavitcher Rebbe mentioned that the mazel, the zodiac sign for the month of Av is the Aries, is Leo, the lion. Okay, so Leo in Hebrew is an Aryeh. An Aryeh has four letters, Aleph, Resh, Yud, and He. And that forms then an acrostic for Aleph is the first day, referring to Rosh Hashanah. Then you have Yud is Rosh Hashanah, is Yom Kippur, and the He refers to Hashanah Rabbah, which is the last day of the Rosh Hashanah season, this final day of Sukkot. So you don't have to wait. You can start taking stock today. Get a jump on it. Speaking of getting a jump on it, we're quickly running out of time. We got a Hasidic story coming up. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Hey, Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest way? RabbiFinman.com. You'll be able to get in touch with me. You'll be able to send me a letter, fan mail from some flounder. Yes. Any criticism, comment, question, query, or anything else that you'd like to, if just so long as it's related to Judaism somehow, send it off. I love getting mail. I love answering mail. And I've developed, over the last almost 23 years, developed some very, some nice pen pal relationships. People I've never met, but we converse via email frequently. And it's a great thing. What else is on RabbiFinman.com? Well, you'll find archived editions of the radio show. Last 2 years or so, they're right there. You'll also find archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U-Story, classes which in which yours truly convey the ideals and fundamentals of Judaism in an entertaining and educational way. You'll also find the very, very, at this point, important donations page. It is August. We're still doing June. And I did get a letter today from Salem Communications. It's 3 months, Rabbi. Hello. So they're usually pretty good about letting me go 3 months, 90 days. That's about it. I've never gone 120 because when I get over 100, I kind of get like the fish eyes, which for the fish eyes, for the Finn man, is not a good thing. So prevent Finn man from getting fish eyes from Salem Communications. Go today to RabbiFinman.com, go to the donations page, click on whatever number you'd like to donate, make it a monthly donation. It's all very easy, very simple, very PayPal-ish, and you can decide how much or how little you'd like to give. If you don't want to give via the internet, I understand. Put your donation of any amount into a letter, affix a stamp in the upper right-hand corner, and right in the center of the envelope, The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. We are in 23 years of broadcasting. And when it gets over 90 days, I kind of wonder, are we going to be around for 24? Surprise me. Let's make sure that the Jewish Hour is here for 24 years. That's like, I have kids that are younger than that. So, and so do you probably. Anyway, for most of you anyway. So do it today. Okay, the story involves an Israeli couple that moved to Minnesota. They were raised on kibbutz and were not religious at all. But they had certain, listen, it's Minnesota, and it's like, what's Jewish in Minnesota? So they became friends with Rabbi Feller, who's the Chabad rabbi over there, the head of Chabad of Minnesota. The story happened in the early 80s, late 70s, I'm not sure. They started going, she went started going to classes with Manus Friedman at the Beis Chana Women's Institute, and they're really getting into it. But they still remained their secular Jews, which means they didn't practice, they didn't keep anything. She, out of the blue, started having these really violent hallucinations, like she's being attacked. And they took her in for all kinds of scans. They didn't see any, there's no close-head injury, no trauma, no nothing. And they were like, besides themselves, medication really wasn't helping. It was just like, turned her into a zombie, but it wasn't helping. So Rabbi Feller wrote to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and the Rebbe responded that in such a condition, keeping the laws of kosher diet would be of help. So Rabbi Feller went and talked to the couple, and they're not religious. They're not into it all. The husband is like, what has keeping kosher got to do with anything? And Rabbi Feller said, your doctors aren't helping. This could maybe help. So he's out drinking with a couple of his buddies, and they're talking about this mystic, this medium woman who has these spiritual powers, and she's able to heal people. He said, I'm going to go to her. So he makes an appointment. He goes to this medium, and he tells him the wife's problem. And she says, takes a look at him and says, you're Jewish, right? He says, yeah. She says, what are you coming to me when you can go to the rabbi in Brooklyn? He's much more powerful than me. And he said, what is this, a setup? I got an answer from him already. So she said, if you got an answer from him already, so what did he tell you? He said, we have to keep the kosher diet. So she said, so you don't need me. Go keep kosher. So he walked out like all befuddled, but he said, okay, we're going to start keeping kosher. And they started keeping kosher, and the hallucinations went away. But every once in a while, she'd get like a relapse. for a short period of time. And Rabbi Feller wrote to Lubavitcher Rebbe that she's definitely feeling better. But every once in a while she has a relapse. So the Rebbets wrote back, they should tighten their standards. They should keep Chalav Yisrael. There's different standards in the dairy products. They should keep the higher standards of dairy products. And the hallucinations went away. The family became more involved with Judaism. They lived happily ever after, which is what I hope you're going to do. That's it. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care.